Call a meeting to order at 6:02. At this time, executive session, there is not an executive session at this time. We will have salute to the flag. Jim, will you lead us to the salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Budget items, we have donations, 13 of them.
Yeah, so thank you. I wanted to start with the donations. These donations are all the donations for holiday gifts. I want to read these out loud on our next meeting on January 5th, but I wanted to make sure we accepted them before so we can distribute all of them during the holiday season. So I want to quickly run through these. Would you like me to go through each one?
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. All right, so for, there's 13 of them. The first one is from City of Fitchburg Parks and Rec Department. Brand new toys for our students in the amount of $4,000. The second one is from our, one of our consultants, Carrie Purcell. She actually donated $200 for brand new toys for our students. The next one is from City United Church in the amount of $5,000 for brand new toys for students. We have Fitchburg Fire Department, again, in the amount of $1,000, brand new toys for the holidays for our students. British American Club, again, in the amount of $2,500, brand new toys for our students. Hollis Hills Farms donated 60 Christmas trees to distribute to our families in need in the amount of $3,500. Elite Construction donated brand new toys to our students in the amount of $3,000. Rick Jollymore donated hats and gloves for students for Rheingold in the amount of $1,000. Fitchburg Art Museum donated $10,000 for purchasing snow boots, coats, and toys and gift cards for our families. This is from FPD for the Fitchburg community in the amount of $4,000 for toys for the holidays for our students. The next one's from E.L. Harvey and Son. They donated 20 bikes and 20 helmets to our students in the amount of $2,000. And thank you from the mayor for securing this donation. The next one is from former Fitchburg Public Schools cafeteria director, Joe Lucius. She donated $100 in toys for our students. And then last but not least, the City of Fitchburg's Board of Health, five boxes of food in the amount of $200 for our families. So again, I ask that we accept these this evening, and then I will also read them out loud on January 5th meeting so the public knows exactly who donated what for the holidays.
Is it, can we act on these items now? Bundle them, and then we'll have the one item for the policy. So make a motion to bundle action items 25-579 through 25-591.
Hold on one second before we do that, Lindsay.
Sorry, I don't think you could hear me before. I was trying to say, on the Rick Jollymore one, you said $1,000. Is it 100 or 1,000?
Oh, sorry about that. I think it's 100.
It doesn't say 1,000 in here. It just says it.
Rick Jollymore. Oh, yeah, sorry. Rick Jollymore donated hats and gloves for children in the estimated value of $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what I'm expecting to see here. Good.
Okay. All right, Jim made a motion to bundle these. We have a second.
Second.
Mary Alexander, do a roll call.
Yep, Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mrs. England?
Did you say England?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That was, sorry, fuzzy.
Dr. Knight?
Yes.
Okay, it was unanimous. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve the bundle? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Roll call vote again.
Okay.
Mrs. Egan?
Yes.
And roll,
yes.
Dr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
All in favor? It has passed. Thank you.
I have to say, it's pretty incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really generosity.
I'll give you a final total too on January 5th, because I'm sure we're going to have more.
It's amazing.
Plus, we can get the number of families.
The families, yeah. I think overall, I think it's over 300 families.
Amazing.
Amazing how people have turned out this year.
Yeah.
It's so difficult for everybody. Okay, policy items, policy IKFE, competency determination.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. So I appreciate you guys all having this extra meeting for the competency determination. So the last several months, I've been working with administrators and teachers and also the policy subcommittee to update our competency determination based on the new requirements from the state. So tonight, what I would like to do is I'm going to run through the new policy again, because the state changed its regulations on competency determination, we had to update our policy based on that. So that's why we did that. So I'm gonna walk through and let you know what the changes were to the policy and update you. I'm not gonna read it from word to word because you've all had this to look at. But if there's any questions or you need me to talk about any of these pieces, you gotta let me know and I will do that, okay? The thing I am asking for this evening, I have to submit this by December 31st. So I'm asking tonight that we approve it, do the first reading and waive the second so I can submit this to the state because it is required by the end of the month. I have to submit it, okay? Everyone all set? I'm gonna go through the policy now.
Yep.
All right, so we should all have that. So I'm gonna start with the first paragraph. So the first paragraph pretty much just summarizes how we need to have this competency determination because of the change in the ballot question and MCAS not being the graduation requirement anymore. The second paragraph talks about how we need to have courses that align to what students were tested on in 2023 for MCAS to make sure that kids are meeting the competency to graduate high school. So those courses are in English, mathematics, and science. We already have that. The change in this is that we actually now have to put down what courses they are, because before we didn't have to specify what courses. We actually now need to tell what courses will satisfy that at Fitchburg High and also at Goodrich. That's what we had to do for this. The additional piece is that beginning with the graduating class of 2027, they are going to have to take and pass US history. So that was the additional piece that we had to add into this policy, because that's the change in the additional regulations, okay? So going down to kind of the third piece where it says to show mastery, the other piece is we had to specify what pieces of mastery look like. So not only the grades in the courses, but what other assessments or student work will we say show competency? So we decided to say a collection of assessments in student work or a capstone or a portfolio project. So on top of passing the courses, those are the pieces that we will consider to make sure that students have that competency determination. So we had to put that statement in there. That was new this year. So we did that. Then you're gonna see that there is a chart on the bottom. So what we had to do is we created a four column chart. The first two columns are the information that was already in the policy, the content area, and then the course requirement saying exactly what the requirement is for that. So those pieces were already in there, okay? Then the third column was what we actually then had to align all the coursework. So you can see that we had to go and align all the coursework for Fitchburg High School and Goodrich Academy for English and mathematics in science and social studies. So we had to put the courses down for Fitchburg High and Goodrich. So you can see that in the third column. And then in the last column, we actually had to name what type of assessments would actually demonstrate mastery. So we did that for all those four content areas for Fitchburg High School and Goodrich. The thing that's different from Goodrich is it's an alternative school. They have a little bit different of curriculum that they use. So you can see that we weren't specific about the exact assessments. We put down into the unit assessments that the teachers create. So that's why we have it vague there, okay? So those are all the courses for Goodrich and Fitchburg High for English, math, science, and social studies that will actually determine whether a student has met competency, okay? Any questions on any of those courses in the grids?
So just a quick question, under the third column,
yep.
And just looking at English language, does a student have to take all of those English language classes?
That's a great question. They do have to take 4 years of English.
Okay, right.
However, to meet the competency determination, they only have to take two.
Okay.
And the reason why, it's typically 9th and 10th grade English,
okay.
But for English it's different because the standards grow up.
Right. Okay.
So it's the same standards, but they just look different for each grade level.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure that if a student came in 11th or 12th grade, they still would meet the comps determination for English taking 11th and 12th grade English because it's the same standards.
Okay.
That's why we listed all those there.
Okay.
For the other subject areas, it's different.
Okay.
For mathematics, it only can be algebra or geometry.
Okay.
It can't be any other math class.
Okay. Gotcha.
For science, it's different also because it has to be a lab. So we listed all our labs down there,
okay.
Whether it was biochem, physics, or chemistry,
okay.
And whether it was MVP or not too, because those also count as labs. So that's why you see a little bit more,
okay.
Of an extensive,
okay.
List under there.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have the US history requirement.
Right. Okay.
That's why it looked a little bit different, but that's a good question.
Okay. Thank you.
But it does align pretty well, Jim, with the school's just specific graduation requirements,
okay.
that you know, in terms of attaining the 24 credits,
yep.
That needed in that, but the global graduation requirements.
Didn't we always have to have a U.S. history grad?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's,
yes.
Not a change. That's
no.
Really
it's
a
always
change.
Been
that.
But now it's specifying that for the mastery, the determination.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I thought we, Fitchburg,
we have.
School,
yes, we do.
Yes.
Yep.
And said you must pass U.S.
Yes.
history.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a requirement. It's been a requirement in the state.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, because we're a Mass Corps district.
Yeah.
We follow the Mass Corps regulations that pretty much say these are the courses that the kids mm-hmm. need to get into a
yeah.
four-year college
yeah.
in Massachusetts. So we've always followed that. So that's why we're in really good shape, because we've always done this.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new for us. It's just now listing the courses in this part. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions on those courses before I go into the next piece?
Questions on the board? No, I don't see any. No. Okay.
All right, so underneath local graduation requirements, this is nothing new. So what we had to do is they asked exactly what is kind of like what our program of studies are. This is pretty much what it says in our handbook and our program of studies.
Right.
So we cut and pasted this from our program of studies and our handbook and added this there. So that's everything that we've always done. For Fitchburg High School, and then on the next page for Goodrich Academy. Again, this is where that Mass Corps falls
yeah.
in.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's there for. That's nothing new. Okay. If you go underneath grading system, they explicitly asked us in the new regulations, what grade does a student? What's the minimum grade that a student needs to pass any type of course to get credit? And in Fitchburg High School and at Goodrich, it's at 60 or higher. So it's a 60%. So we had to explicitly say that. So that's why it says, satisfactory completing coursework shall mean a student earns it full credit with a grade of 60 or above. Okay? That's been like that for
yeah.
ever.
Okay.
All right. Okay?
Okay.
The other thing that the comps determination regulations required is that we add into our policy what our GPA scale is. So we have this already. So we cut and pasted this from our program of studies in our handbook. We added that in for Fitchburg High, and we added that in for Goodrich. Again, not a change for us, just a change in the policy and adding it to the document. All right. Any questions on that? All right. If you look underneath additional considerations, where it says students with disabilities. This is where that's changed a little bit. One of the things that they said we had to do is make a statement that out-of-district students who are at a private day school or at a collaborative in Massachusetts, that those students, because they're in a Massachusetts collaborative or a day school, they meet the requirements. And because they also have to follow the Massachusetts curriculum frameworks and the standards, they meet that automatically. So we had to provide a statement. That's what we did. So that statement's in there.
Okay.
And then the last thing that we just have to say is that any student at any time that's on an IEP, for us to make sure they're getting the right supports, we actually have to bring this up during an IEP meeting now to discuss that with parents. So it says discussion of the competency determination must be now part of the IEP's team's transition planning. So when a student transitions from middle school to high school, they actually have to start talking about this now in the IEP process. So we had to add that statement, so we have that there.
Now, where's that statement, John?
Last, third page on the back of it. Yep, it says, discussion of the competency determination must be a part of the IEP team's transition planning. It's right above where it says initial language awareness. Yep.
Okay.
Any questions on that? Because that was a pretty big change. We had to add that. Then the next thing for English language learners, we need to put a statement on how we would determine appropriate courses for students. And again, it's going to be a case-by-case basis, reviewing the English language learners' achievement language levels, in addition to kind of looking at their transcript too. Okay? So that's going to be what we're going to be doing for English language learners. So we had to put a statement there, and we did that. The next piece is we had to put something about late enrolling students. So what will happen if a student enters after 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade? So what we will do is we will make sure that the school will meet with the appropriate guidance counselor and administrator and do a transcript review and to build that schedule so they can actually fulfill that graduation requirement. So that's what that first bullet says underneath late enrolling students. And then the second bullet says, well, what about that, you know, that extraordinary circumstance if a kid comes at a certain time, you know, what are we going to do if a senior comes in? You know what I mean? So we obviously will still review that, but we also may be looking at some online education for them in order for them.
You already did that, didn't you, Jeremy?
Yeah, we have that.
We look at case by case all the time with ASL and students who came.
They came in, you took their transcripts, went through it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you could get them.
Yeah.
So sometimes with students who are language learners, couldn't get their transcripts when they're 18.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very challenging. But yeah, we always did would work as best we could to try to help them, you know, in a really accelerated time frame.
Yeah.
Develop language skills and be able to graduate.
Yeah, I'm assuming if a student is transferring in from another school in Massachusetts,
they'd be all set.
That's easy.
Probably the ones that come from a different state.
Those are tough. And other countries.
All right, any questions on that piece for English language learners, special education, or late enrolling students?
None.
All right, the next piece is the appeal process. So what happens for a student that doesn't meet the competency determination? What do they do to appeal this? So we had to create an appeal process because we didn't have that before. Glenda, would you like to walk through this? Because Glenda worked on this part.
Okay.
Glenda, do you want to walk us through the appeal process, or would you like me to do that?
I'm happy to share statements. If you can name each one, and then I can talk about it.
All right, so again, we were required to write an appeal process. We had to define who can appeal.
So that would be a school-based team. The principal is the one who leads that team, and then the principal or the designee would set up a team to be able to support that appeal process.
Okay. The next section, Glenda, it goes into the three ways a student can appeal. The first one is the cohort appeal.
Yep. So this is if we notice there's a group of students who all have the same kind of academic track, And just to give you a brief overview of these three processes were not, I can't take ownership of that. This is the same process that the state has done in the past. If, for instance, there was a review on MCAS and someone wanted to dispute like an MCAS scoring, this is that same process. So before the competency determination was MCAS, right? Now we don't have that. So we're using and emulating the same process that we would have if we wanted to appeal that past process. So this first one is basically saying if you have a group of students who had a very similar schedule and there are peers who may have had different schedules with the same courses but maybe a different teacher, it's an opportunity for us to review actually the cohort and really hold us accountable for if the instruction in a particular place it's not equivalent to the instruction that is happening with other peers in other classrooms, if that makes sense.
So that's the first one. The second one is the portfolio appeal, Glenda?
Yep, so that portfolio process is really an opportunity for if a student's transcript is not showing us that they're, you know, capable of graduating, it has us take a look at their entire student portfolio so the students can, we can review like the student work and how their progress has been overall in their courses. So it's a deeper dive beyond the transcript.
And then the last one is the transcript appeal, Glenda.
Yep, so that transcript appeal process is similar to what John had mentioned before, but essentially it's an opportunity for us to look at overall what is the transcript telling us? What is the transcript informing us in terms of what courses they've been passing, where they need support? And typically with a transcript process, it might result in us having to do a next step in terms of what courses they need additional support in. And that's where we would loop in next steps at the school level or on those online courses or, you know, following up with incompleted work. So those kind of things to look at.
So then the next piece is we had to put down what happens after an appeal is submitted and that whole process. So we outline that there.
Yep, so after an appeal is submitted, like I said, the group will review whatever part of the process they're looking at, make a determination, and then there will be clear next steps given for a student if it's not passed. If it is passed, then obviously they move forward with the competency determination.
And then the last piece for that appeal process, Glenda, is if an appeal is not awarded, what a student can do?
Yep, so if an appeal is not awarded, like I said, at the end of that appeal process, the group gives very clear next steps. So if there's just incomplete work that's keeping the students off track, they'll explicitly say, this is what you need in order to make, you know, some of this work up. If it's that there's a course that needs to be redone, there's opportunity and they'll share what those next steps are. If a family is still not happy with the appeal process, they can follow up an appeal. And then at that point, it would come to us.
Yep. Okay, so what about resubmit the appeal later in the year? Shouldn't that be more definitive in some way?
Yeah, so usually if you resubmit, it's because you have been given next steps and you are at the point of following up those next steps. So yes, you are welcome to resubmit once you've completed your next steps.
It says later in the year, could it be 1 day or 6 months? Is there no time?
There's no time. There's no time frame. Because as soon as they're ready, okay. There's no time because it could be anything. It could be any type of time frame for any kid.
Yeah, it's a little bit more fluid in that way because it really is like on what the basis is. For a student, one thing that could be holding them up is just one assignment that they haven't submitted, right? So that could be a short time frame. And for another student, it could be a number of courses that then they might need to follow up with summer school on Edgenuity. So it really does depend on the individual.
So it's going to be it's going to be different for every kid.
Yeah.
Based on their needs.
Kind of open ended.
Yeah. And that's why we did have these different appeals steps, because we didn't want to pigeonhole kids into one piece. We wanted to give them a number of options to show their competency, their mastery, and different levels of appeal.
It's very clear, spelled out.
We try to make it as simple as possible.
It's not wildly different than the former MCAS competency determination.
And the just has to be assigned to classes, and then that
we have to handle it, not the state.
Right. But what's not different, and was a huge piece of component before, I should say, is you have to have had strong attendance and shown some effort over the period of time. Mm-hmm. And that would shut down a lot of kids, you know, when they would appeal their MCAS results.
Yeah.
If they had, you know, 30% absenteeism rates and this kind of thing, it's like, well, we weren't going to school enough.
Yeah.
You weren't here.
Yeah, you weren't here.
Yeah. That contributed, you know, to the problem.
That the last piece is that we actually then had to make a statement about what happened to all these kids that left Fitchburg when MCAS was the requirement, but didn't actually graduate because they didn't pass MCAS.
Okay.
So now they actually now can come to the enrollment office, and that's what it says, and they can say, I would like to review my transcript. I feel like I should be able to earn a diploma because I've passed all the classes. So if that happens, they contact the director of enrollment, and the director of enrollment we'll review that, and then we will make a determination based on the transcript if that student did successfully complete.
And how it compares to those, the classes that
correct.
Are
affected. Yep.
No, that's fair.
And here's the thing. If someone came and said they graduated, they should have graduated in 2005, let's say.
Yeah.
They don't go back, and we don't issue a diploma back in 2005. We issue a diploma for that year. So if anyone comes this year, you're issuing a diploma in 2026.
Okay.
It's that year approach the district.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay.
So that's the competency determination. The last pieces are all the legal references, all the cross references that we made with the student handbook and the graduation requirement that we had. And I ask that we do the first reading and waive the second and adopt this tonight so I can submit it to the state.
So I'll make a motion to waive the reading of policy IKFE competency determination and approve action item 25-592, approve the subcommittee's recommendation to adopt a new policy IKFE competency determination based on the new state guidelines and regulations. That covers everything, right?
I think so. Mary Alexandra, does that work?
It does. Did somebody second that?
We need a second.
Need a set. So that was Jim. We need a second for that.
I'm happy to second it, but I do have a quick question.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Any questions? My apologies.
I just wanted to follow up that last comment that you had made about the students coming back you know, that were obviously prior students coming back now saying, you know, I want to have this reviewed and get a diploma, and they get their diploma now, and you're saying it's being issued in the year in which it's currently being delivered to them, as opposed to backdating it to when they actually would have graduated or would have. Is that because if we backdated it, it would show a date in which the policies were different, they were under different requirements for graduation?
Correct.
Yep.
And plus the state said we had to do it that way too. So I'm assuming that's why.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's all related to policies.
But they'll end up with a high school diploma.
They'll end up with a high school diploma.
Yes. Yeah.
It may not be 2005, and they may be getting a high school diploma at 30 or something, you know, who knows.
Yeah. And we've already had some that have come forward to do that. Yep.
Wonderful.
It's something that may or may not ever happen again, but my brother graduated, went the career in 1952, left high school. School committee wants to award him a diploma. Can we do that still?
We've done that.
I know we have.
Well, I would say if it Do you think it, are you asking for kids that maybe fall in the MCAS range or?
No.
No, I think, yes, pre, yes.
Pre.
You can pre.
And it's,
Yeah. Because it wasn't an MCAS year, that's why.
Okay, so some of these old vets.
Yep.
Some who left to go to the service, we can come in and say, yes, we can still award them the diploma.
Yep.
Wish I could remember the name of the most recent.
I remember doing it recently.
Yeah.
Picture him perfectly.
Oh, I know, we did that, I.
At the pepper alley.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Jim, you made a motion.
Yeah.
It was seconded by Lindsay. Lindsay's gonna second that, okay.
Now we need Mary Alexander to take a roll call.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Stephen?
Yes.
Mrs. England?
Yes.
Dr. Knight?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Unanimous, okay, all right. Seeing nothing else, no other business, no executive session, motion for adjournment.
Can we take it by unanimous consent and just, or we need to do a roll call?
I think technically you're supposed to do a roll call.
I don't think so, adjournment, I don't think, huh?
What's that?
To be technical, I think I have to do a roll call.
I think the chair can adjourn.
Okay.
There you go.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Stephen.
It's precedent.
Have a good night.